He saw at last that they had fallen behind the furious onset of the flood, but Roger was still swimming with it, desperately throwing up his head from time to time and snorting the water from his nostrils. All his efforts to gain a foothold failed. His strength was nearly spent, and unless some help should come in a few minutes, it would come in vain. And in the darkness and the rapidity with which they were borne along, how should help come? All at once, Roger's course stopped. He became an obstacle to the flood, which pressed him against some other obstacle below, and rushed over horse and rider. Thrusting out his hand, Gilbert felt the rough bark of a tree. Leaning towards it and clasping the log in his arms, he drew himself from the saddle, while Roger, freed from his burden, struggled into the current and instantly disappeared. As nearly as Gilbert could ascertain, several timbers, thrown over each other, had lodged, probably upon a rocky islet in the stream, the uppermost one projecting slantingly out of the flood. It required all his strength to resist the current, which sucked and whirled and tugged at his body, and to climb high enough to escape its force without overbalancing his support. At last, though still half emerged, he found himself comparatively safe for a time, yet as far as ever from a final rescue. Yet a new danger now assailed him from the increasing cold. There was already a sting of frost, a breath of ice in the wind. In another hour, the sky was nearly swept bare of clouds, and he could note the lapse of the night by the sinking of the moon. But he was by this time hardly in a condition to note anything more.